Hello, everyone. This is Dave Goulas, president of EasyDC 3PL, and thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast, where we spotlight small business owners, entrepreneurs, startup founders, and we have real conversations about their journey, what it's really like, and what they've learned along the way. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. I'm your host, Dave Goulas of EasyDC 3PL. And I'm so excited for today's episode. Our guest today is the founder and the chief balance engineer at Focus to Evolve, Jason Henkel. Welcome, Jason.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on, David.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. If you could, just as we start, can you tell the audience what Focus Evolve is and how it came to be?
Yeah, you bet. Well, Focus to Evolve is a boutique consulting and training firm where we help people to accomplish far more in way less time while keeping email well-managed and well-being at center stage. So that's kind of like a unicorn state where we go into the busy professional, whether it be an individual or teams, and we pretty much just kind of take on the thorny issue of workload spillover, the feeling of being burnt out, mental fatigue, email overwhelm, all those things that so many people in the working West feel. And we have a unique training that tackles that head on, and pretty much for the rest of the working days of that individual, they get to handle it in a very different way as a result of the engagement. So that's what we do. And that's as far as why we do it, though. And now that's a little bit of a different answer. And it is by far the most important part of it. When it's, going back in my own story, I was a corporate warrior myself. Going way back, I was born in the cornfields of Shelby, Ohio, where I was baling hay and hanging drywall. That's what I grew up doing. And so I was not afraid of hard work. Like, that did teach me that. And when I went up into college, got my master's, and then plugged into the corporate world, this idea of just outworking everybody and saying yes to everything, it works early in a career. You make friends fast with some bosses because you're just doing all their work for them. Eventually, once you get to more strategic roles, that is not the ticket anymore. And you have to learn some things. And I eventually worked my way up this huge chemical company called AkzoNobel. And I was deploying ERP and CRM systems all around the world for them. Also deeply involved in their organizational change management programs. And I was also holding the role of business hierarchy owner and business process hierarchy owner. And so there were just a lot of things on that role. And I remember, I thought I was handling it okay. And it was an exciting role because it was one of those globe-trotting roles, and there were nice restaurants and cool cities and, all these cool things going on. But eventually it got me, and you don't realize it. Like, when you fall into that trance of busyness, is what we like to call it, you're kind of just addicted to next and more. And you almost don't have any present-mindedness. You don't have any stillness or calmness. It's just, you're just kind of going to your inbox and who's yelling at me the loudest as your next thing to do, instead of what's my mission? What's my purpose? What are my targets? What are my goals? And those are just two entirely different lists. And so I got to this point where I was coming home one trip from Kuala Lumpur, and my wife, she met me at the front door and literally said, "This isn't the life I signed up for." And, I love my wife, I love my family, and man, that one got me. She really did. It was the slap and the hug that I needed to just snap me out of this. Like, what am I doing with the minutes of my life? I mean, I'm thankful to have gainful employment and be able to see a bit of the world and do that, but I was losing the most important things in my life. And so from that point, there's a whole lot we can double click on from there, but let's just put it this way. I did actually learn a way to where you don't have to trade in professional priorities for your personal priorities. It's not a either or, it's a yes and, but you really do have to learn some interesting things about yourself, including some brain chemistry, some body chemistry, some general human design, and how to better align it with your workload and your life load management. And that's what we teach. And that's why we teach it. I mean, this stuff that I teach now and my team teaches, it saved my marriage. I can categorically say that's true. And it probably saved my life because the cortisol levels were high. I was stressed. Adrenal fatigue was way in and my circadian rhythm was way out of whack. I just kept saying yes to all the trips and things. And it just was a formula that was going to a dead end. And I needed some feminine wisdom from my wife to snap me out of it. And thank goodness she did. So that's what I do and why I do it.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a story. And I have some personal experience with this too. And this is how we connected and became friends too, because I was, it's about maybe a year and a half ago or so, and I was kind of on the edge of burnout and I was like, what do I do? And so I'm always like one of my is seek and you shall find. So I'm literally Googling email productivity techniques and trying to find a better way to organize this stuff. And I came across your system. I saw your intro video. It made sense. I bought the training and this was like a Saturday afternoon. I took it that weekend and literally by Monday morning, I had like, I did the whole training. I did what you said to do. I put it into action and I had relief and like I had processed to zero. And man, it helped me out so much. And it's crazy too, because right, I'm in my mid 40s. I've been a professional for all these years and like no one teaches you this type of stuff as far as like how to organize and the different things you teach. Like, can you just speak more about how you came across these techniques and kind of built this whole system you have?
I'd love to. No, we'll talk as long as you want to talk on this. I just absolutely love this. But what you said is really right on. You felt relief. That's what we're delivering. And relief leads to lower cortisol levels, lower adrenal fatigue, a vibrational frequency that is back to homeostasis. Like most of us are in this high beta wave, which is a stressed human. It's an agitated human most days. And as far as like how to use our platforms that we're already using, how to use them as they were designed to be used, like this email thing. So I don't care if I'm in front of Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, Wells Fargo, Northwestern Mutual, or the one man law shop, anybody in between. I always like to ask, okay, what tool, what software do you touch more than any other software in your working repertoire? You know, it's usually Outlook because that email is just blowing our face off all day, or it's Gmail. If a lot of companies use Gmail if they're kind of smaller, mid-range. But for the big companies, they're almost always Outlook. Well, okay, so that's the tool you touch the most is this email thing and this Outlook or Gmail. So with that in mind, who taught you how to use it? And I'm like, honestly, who taught you? Just think about it. Was it Julie? Was it Bob? Was it a design specialist from Outlook or Microsoft? 100% of the time, it's, I don't know. It was just like some nice person sitting next to me at my first job. I'm like, yeah. And what are the odds of that person knowing how to use the tool as it was actually designed to be used? It's zero. And when you're on the other side, after we show people how to utilize Outlook to become completely an outsourced part of your brain, it should be an executive secretary for every employee of your company. It should answer who, what, when, where, why, and how, all by design. You get all of that stuff out of your head. And so your brain and your heart gets to be used to build relationships and come up with amazing solutions. That's what humans are for, not keeping track of 10,000 things and waking up at 3 a.m. like, oh, crap, I forgot to send this. Or, you know, the things that happen to all of us. No, man, that's what Outlook and Gmail and Asana or whatever your platform is. We don't care about the platform. We train on them because there are specific settings that you need to know. But it is about using it in the way it was designed to be used. So I love that you caught on to that. And I love that you really sunk your teeth into the training. Instead of saying, well, those were some cool suggestions. And then just kind of going back to your work habits and not doing any of the settings or any of the functionalities. It sounds like you just did it and you got the result, which is the feeling of getting out in front of it. And finally, not feeling like our outlook is this thing that's blasting our face off, but rather it's a tool that we put in the passenger seat instead of the driver's seat. So that's, one of the most important things. But, as far as where some of these modalities came from, so as you're aware, we basically have a marquee training. It's a 2-hour engagement. Now, we can do that live and in person with teams or individuals, or you can do the online academy. Either one, it's similar content. The in-person one, as an example, we go through the 5 primary, what we call meta skills of effectiveness, or levers of effectiveness, you can call them. But we like to say meta skills because they're like any skill, like hitting a baseball, that's a skill, you got to learn it. The same thing with reading, that's a skill, something you have to be taught. But when you learn reading, well, that impacts every other area of your life, doesn't it? Whereas baseball, not necessarily. So the 5 meta skills that we teach are each stacked on top of each other, and each and every one of them impacts every single area of your life. And so, you're probably familiar, you remember from the training, how to enter flow state deliberately, where you multiply your cognitive abilities by up to 5 times. Just imagine showing up to work. Every hour you work in flow state, in a protected flow state, you get 5 times more accomplished per hour. That's real stuff. That's why we guarantee 1 day per week back every single week going forward for any attendee of the class. And that is an auditable guarantee. So we're not talking about small returns on investment. We're talking about major swaths of your life coming back by doing these meta skills. So just to take an example, you ask, where did these come from? Why? How am I teaching them? Why am I teaching them? It's like flow state as the first example, how to enter it. I was one of the earliest graduates out of a program called the Flow Genome Project by Jamie Wheel and Stephen Kotler when they were together. Since then, they have split and started whole new companies around training companies and teams how to enter flow state. But being a graduate out of the Flow Genome Project, I learned how to deliberately enter this state of being. And neuroscientists call it transient hypofrontality. So it's an actual state. Like, this isn't woo stuff. This is real. And the Flow Genome Project, they actually take the blueprint from the U.S. Special Operations Command. So of how to be an optimized human, a highly unusually effective human. And so they basically said, let's just use the blueprint of the Navy SEALs, Dev Crew, Green Beret, these elite performers who do impossible things in horrible situations. And let's just cut and paste that blueprint and teach it to civilians. And then they can do that in their life and in their work. So they actually accomplish their highest self in whatever they choose to do. So that's what the Flow Genome is about, the Flow Genome Project. And I graduated out of that. And when I saw what it did to my life, and the amount of things I was able to accomplish in my creativity level, I remember thinking immediately, everyone in my life has got to know about this. I got to teach people about this because nobody knows about transient hypofrontality. We should be teaching it in kinder camp to every human. It should be humaning 101, but nobody knows about it. And so, do you want to be more profitable? Do you want to accomplish more in less time? Do you want to feel better when you're done with it, feel more energized? Or do you want to continue forward in this divided, highly distracted world where you never see this flow state thing? I mean, it's got to be engineered in. And so that's an example of like one of the 5 meta skills we cover and where it came from and why I want the whole world to know about it. But I'm happy to go into more if you want.
Yeah, well, one of the things too you mentioned, and I was looking at some of your recent posts because this has got to be applicable to so many people watching. Most of the people I engage with are like entrepreneurs, high performers. Clearly they're pushing the envelope of ambition, but borderline, doing too much, I burn out. And one of the things you talk a lot about is open tabs in your brain, to speak. And I think it's called the Zeigarnik effect. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Zeigarnik effect. Yeah, that's right.
Can you just talk about that and what it actually does to you and why it's so detrimental?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is just, it's just brutalizing people. So thank you for opening this up, and please share it with as many people as you can, because every human needs to know about this. So the psychedelic effect, yeah, it's I'm simplifying and I'm turning it into real bro science here, but you'll get the idea. Just know the mechanism of action is real. And so basically, when you as a human, let's just say you're a business person, an entrepreneur, you got your thing, it's important work you're doing, you're earning for your family, you're building your business out, and you're serving the community well. And let's just say we got two neural networks here. So here's a neural network. It's your brain, your awareness, wanting to do the strategic, purpose-driven thing right here. That's the thing you want to do. And as you allow your awareness undistracted time, that neural network begins to grow. It's called dendritic arborization. And when that happens, little dendrites are growing off your neural networks, attracting other neural networks that are relevant to that thing you want to be doing. And the more time you give it undistracted, the larger that neural network becomes. Like your connectome becomes big and plush and fast. You get access to heuristic wisdom, access to old memories. Your thinking gets faster as it relates to that thing you want to be doing. But then something else comes along, like a distraction, like the little ding on your little badge on your email or a phone buzz, and you look at it. And now that neural network gets going. All right. So now this one's kind of ramping up and this one's still kind of big. And you're over here and you're like, wait a minute, I should be back to this. I didn't need to answer that email right now. And so you get back to that. Now you got two tabs open. Meanwhile, you jump back over to here, but you see in your inbox, there was another email that came in, this time not from your manager or a partner or an investor, but from your customer. So you're a healthy person who cares. So you open the customer's email. You know how this is going. After one distraction, it's like a Medusa head. There are five other distractions because of that one distraction. And each one is a Medusa head. And this is fractal stuff. Now you have like 12 tabs open, and until you deliberately choose to turn off that tab, like you literally close it with a conscious awareness, that keeps your brain actually keeps those neural networks running, and it is literally burning cognitive battery. Here's the nasty part. As you get all these tabs open, and you haven't deliberately closed them down because you're kind of just jumping from thing to thing to thing, so you got all these tabs open. What's happening there, you're actually building what's called beta amyloid. It's a brain plaque on all these neural networks that are fired up now. And beta amyloid is basically like in the afternoons, you know how you kind of feel a little bit more brain fog. Things aren't quite flowing as much as well as they used to. It's just not as fun. All these things, that's from high beta amyloid buildup. And here's the thing about beta amyloid building up in your neural networks is that in delta wave sleep is where about 95% of that brain plaque or beta amyloid gets flushed out. It's called the glyphomic system. When you're sleeping and when you get to delta wave sleep, the cerebral spinal fluid flushes your gray matter. You can actually watch this in fMRIs. It's wild to look at. It looks refreshing just to watch. But that only happens in deep sleep at night. So that whole day, the more tabs you allow to open, the more beta amyloid is building. That's the brain plaque. And the more brain fog and the slower and the less effective your brain works. So we always tell everybody to radically eliminate distractions. I mean, radically. Just piss some people off if you need to. That person that keeps on Kool-Aid Man kicking your door in, like, stop doing that. I don't want to pay cognitive tax. I don't want to build more beta amyloid brain plaque. Please stop interrupting my life like this. So it does take some courage, but that's what's behind that Zeigarnik effect. And that's why you don't want a bunch of tabs open. It's super important stuff. There's a lot more around this in the training. We cover it, but you do want to protect your awareness. I'll tell you, David, the Nassim Taleb wrote the book Anti-Fragile. Did you read that or you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a romantic nighttime reading thing. It's kind of hard reading. but if you ever do get to it, there are all kinds of beautiful little heuristic wisdom stories throughout that. But he talks about Bodin's donkey, this old Greek farmer. You know, he comes out And he looks up the hillside and he sees this donkey up there. He forgot about his donkey that is starving of thirst and hunger. And so he runs back in his little hut and he gets a tray of water and he scoops some food and he runs up the hillside and he puts the food and the water on both sides of the donkey. And so the donkey looks at the food and he's like, oh, it's, and then he looks at the water and oh, it looks so good. And the food and the water and the food. And then it falls over and dies of hunger and thirst. Instead of just calmly, deliberately, authentically drinking some water and then calmly eating some food. That's the problem of the West right there. This digital world has destroyed our ability to focus on one thing and do it like the archetype of a samurai. Just do it with full focus. Finish it fast and with your full power, like a laser light. Instead of handling everything like an ambient light, which doesn't cut through anything. And so we're suffering from it. We're not getting anything done. And we're kind of in sort of, and we're in this wobble. And it's so awesomely ineffective. And these are the knowings that we've got to get the world to know about so we can get the real things done and stop being so distracted. And so in Nassim Taleb in that book says, don't be an ass. Do one thing at a time. So there's a little lesson for everybody to take home. Just remember yourself. Don't be an ass today. Let's do one thing at a time.
Yeah, no, it's a powerful story. Easy to remember. Donkey reference for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 2015 or so. You have this epiphany, right? Your wife kind of puts you in check with how you've been living, and you have this idea for this company. And I mean, like you were mentioning, some of these other companies you've been, done trainings for, the Wells Fargo and the Pfizer's and et cetera, right? So clearly you've had some success here. Like how did you get it from just an idea into the business that you have today?
Well, yeah, the answer to that is because straight up passion. When I saw the difference in my life, I was like, the whole world needs to know about it. And I'm dead serious about that. Now, in the beginning, I didn't know how to do it because I had a corporate job. So just to be candid with you, I was doing some moonlighting there in the early days. First of all, I started training my teams on this within the company, within AkzoNobel, and it caught traction. I instantly saw, oh my gosh, everyone in the world is drowning in email and not feeling like they're out in front of it. So I knew there was a product that people would buy. Like it was a real pain point for humans. And so then I just started, you know, doing little trainings with individuals. It was always one-on-one, like maybe an insurance agent friend of mine. Like it was like little beta tests that I was doing. And then all of a sudden, like they would pass me up to their managers. And then all of a sudden I was training teams within those companies. And I would say over about a 2-year period, I think I was literally two timing for 2 years in that setting. And then it got to a point where I was like, wow, if I really put some jet fuel into this, instead of just doing referrals, I'll bet you something could get going. I could probably be a little more aggressive on asking for referrals as well. I think that's one thing that early stage folks and entrepreneurs, they're so shy about saying, hey, it sounds like that really helped you. Hey, can I ask for a helping hand here? I'm building my business out. It would mean a ton if you could introduce me to one or two people who might benefit from this service, whatever it is, whatever your widget is, whatever your service. Be bold as hell about asking for help, asking people to introduce you. People want to help. When you expose vulnerability, the mechanism of action behind it is it's automatic. Humans don't have a choice. Unless they're straight up narcissists. But when you say, can you help me? You start it with the words, could you help me? Oxytocin gets flowing. Humans love to help other humans. We are a tribal species. Take advantage of that chemistry. Ask for help. Say, could you refer me to some folks? That was probably one of the big catalysts when I stopped being shy about asking for help via referrals. And then those started blossoming. And I'll tell you what, over the next few years, it blossomed quickly. I ended up landing some large clients. And it was probably all from the foundation of just asking for more referrals. There eventually came a point where the finances made sense for me to jump and do this full time. And now here I am doing it full time. And I've added you know, keynote speaking engagements to my service. Next year, we're launching the Deep Immersion engagements. It's going to be 3 months for those who want to go really to samurai level. And so that's kind of the evolution of it. But I'm imagining I didn't quite hit some of the detail you might want to hear or your audience might want to hear. So what else would you like to talk about on that transition from working guy on over to building out?
Well, so many people too, when they're starting out, right, they have this idea, they want to do it, and they get going, but it's not what they expected. They encounter adversity, right? Oh, yeah. And it's just so many, it's just kind of like, what do I do, right? And how is this going to, you know, so it's like you said too, your passion, right? Your passion was so, and I can hear that in your solo cast and your teaching. And even when I reached out to you too, after I just reached out to say thank you because for what your training did, and you were so helpful. You asked if I needed anything. We would like geek out over email about this tactic or that. And we talked on the phone a few times. And I was just like, wow, here's this guy with this thriving business. And I bought his program, and he actually took real time. And and again, right, you're practicing what you preach in terms of you respond to email when you respond at your certain times, and you're not like wired in 24/7, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I guess to get back to the question is just like when it was starting out and you know, before you really got things rolling, like what were some of the adversity that you encountered, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah. I mean, every day the doubt, just heavy, heavy doubt. When, especially I've got this thing where I wait, this total amygdala hijack where I'm like, what am I doing? My heart's beating. I'm like, just literally, some word beyond fear was there for years, every morning. And I kind of think of it as, in Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, it's like you leave the village, you go out there to slay a dragon, and dragons are nasty. They're not supposed to be fun, but you got to just know that without any dragon, there's no gold. They're not protecting gold. So this fear that you feel, I've listened to enough podcasts on entrepreneurs and the folks that made it. Nobody has gone through that valley of fear. Nobody's accomplished anything without going through that nasty valley, that darkness, and it's daily. And I would just encouraged to just keep going through, continuously go back to your why, continuously, whatever your thing is, something bigger than you. I'm not going to get into religions or spirituality, but whatever your jam is, pray, meditate, ask, manifest. You know, those things are real. Those are energetics. And by the way, language matters. Your internal language, especially the way you talk to people, the way you talk to yourself. Those are just the little things, and the seed sits in you, and you just got to keep watering that seed and being crystal clear on your why. I mean, if you're doing it just for money, okay. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. We need money. Money is so amazing, an energy force that you have to have in this life. So that's not a terrible why, but you might want to go ahead and find, like, what's the why behind the why? In the money case, if all you got is, I heard someone made a lot of money, I'm going to do this. Okay. I don't know if that's going to take you past the dragon, though. The why that's behind the money that you want will get you past the dragon. That'll help you slay the dragon, get the elixir, and head back to the village where everybody wins. So I like the title of your podcast, Beyond Fulfillment. You know, if you don't have that deep spiritual heart-driven why, I don't know if you will be able to get to that unicorn state of being beyond fulfillment. Because you know, you're climbing this nasty mountain and it's hard. And if it were just a couple weeks or a couple months, easy. But it's not. Building real things takes years. This is a dedication. Like, what are you going to waste the next 5 years of your life on? And you better have a good why, or I can promise you're not going to make it.
Yeah, so true. So true. Another thing you mentioned in there, and you kind of go deep on this in your podcast and your other trainings too. You mentioned the serotonin. but all these different brain chemicals, you have a very unique way of kind of describing mm-hmm. these processes in a way that's, you know, just easy to get. But like, I've listened to several of them, and you talk about, like, for instance, dopamine, like the what's next chemical.
Yeah.
Can you go a little bit further on like what dopamine is and how it's affecting us, and maybe what some ways we can, deal with that?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So dopamine gets a bad rep a lot of times because it's like everyone blames dopamine on the distractions. But actually, dopamine is why we've thrived as a species. It is the what's next chemical. It's the what's more chemical. But when unharnessed, when unchecked by hyperstimulants, which here in this modern world, forget about it. In the millions of years that humans have been around, however long that has been, this whole hyperstimulant environment and atmosphere that we live in, this is brand new to us and we're suffering from it. I don't know a person alive that doesn't have some level of non-specific general anxiety. I don't. And if they tell me they don't, they're just totally in samadhi, I'm going to call them a liar. And if they, you know, subclinical depression is another one. Almost everyone's dipping a little bit, if not a lot, like straight up clinical depression. And so, you know, with those in mind, that's why we've got to become aware of this new thing that has laid upon us, this digital era. Every email is dopamine dripping. If you're on social media, that feeling you get, you ever been on TikTok and, man, that was funny. Woo, that next one even looks funnier. Oh, that next one even looks funnier. And Instagram and Facebook and YouTube's got YouTube and Google. The algorithms know you so much better than you know you. It's not even funny. They're measuring your pupil dilations as you stare at your phone. They know exactly what stimulates you. And it's unfathomable. I had a close friend who retired out of one of the security, one of the men in black security agencies that don't have a three letter to them. I mean, kind of way up there. And he was talking to me about this stuff and I was just shocked. I mean, wow. So this dopamine drip is that they're able to commercialize your interests and what tweaks you and what turns you on. So think of these hyperstimulants. It's not just digital hyperstimulants like email and social media. It's high fructose corn syrup. It's sugar having been separated from its natural fiber and enzymes. So us humans have come along and just dirtied up this and just extracted the sweetness, the proverbial sweetness without the fiber. The fiber is what tells your system, stop eating this. We're going to have some problems around diabetes and attitudes and issues because we're just spiking glucose levels through the roof. Everybody, now we're putting sugar in ketchup and the world thinks orange juice is healthy for you. It's a glass of freaking sugar. It's so ignorant. It's disgusting. But the big companies are making a bunch of money and they're the ones who control the media and they buy the research and therefore the research looks good. Wow. It's just no. So there's gaming, huge dopamine releases in gaming. And those babies are so well engineered. I'm not sure if you're a gamer, if you have teenagers. Anyone who has teenagers knows exactly what I'm talking about. Porn, another one. It's all, you know, it's extracted from its natural fiber. It's very unnatural now. And so on and so forth. They go on forever. But we are just caked in this unhealthy environment. And as Krishnamurti says, we are now well adjusting to a sick society. And it's no sign of health. We've got to hit the timeout button. Got to get back to center. You have the deep knowing of these things. Dopamine doesn't have to rule your life. A dopamine detox is a great idea. And to do that, all you need to do is just take about 2 to 3 15-minute total blackouts a day, no stimulant at all. And your dopamine levels will level out. But you have to, you know, have the courage to do that. Get those breaks in your calendar and actually obey them. And that will help. Do that little dopamine detox. You'll start feeling it right away, but it's impossible to know how good it will feel on the other side. You have to just almost take the leap of faith and take those blackout timeouts several times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing too, I remember from your training was you talking about the ultradian rhythms and how finding your own specific period of time to work. And then, like you said, take, like I like to do a nature walk, especially if it's, if the weather's nice, you know, work, turn it off, go walk, get some sunlight, come back. Right. And, you know, so important too. Right. And you can, like you said, you can feel it, right? It's more about getting back to an intuitive, like, you know, when you know there's too much stimulation, you just have to turn it off and just stop.
That's exactly right. And you don't even need to figure out, is there too much stimulation? The answer is hell yes, there's too much stimulation always, every single day. So like, get that decision out of the way. This is just a matter of just take breaks. You don't even need to know or think about the reason why, or if it's time. It's just, yes, humans need a break. We used to be a very nappish species. We really did. We were pretty quiet, pretty calm, pretty tame. We'd sit there and just kind of, you know, you think of gorillas. They just kind of sit there and pick bugs off each other. And, you know, we were like that. And then when it was time to fight, woo, get out of the way. We were fighters. We were builders. But then we would rest a lot. That's all gone since the industrial age. And then the digital age came, and now we're just always on. And now we are not well, not well at all. And that's a feeling. I don't, you know, we don't need to really even get into that, but everyone knows what that means. So we can change it. That's the good news. We can change it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another thing too, that I took from your solo cast is, I think it was talking about the art of managing, or I forgot how you phrased it, of distractions. But what one point you went into in depth is people use distractions as a pain management tool. And I'd never heard it phrased like that, but it makes so much sense the way you explain it. Can you just go a little deeper on that as well?
I'd be happy to. I mean, you nailed it. To do strategic things is sometimes not the fun thing. And so if you are sitting in an environment that has not been engineered not to pull your attention away, humans are pain relieving creatures. And we will bite on any option to relieve suffering. And so when you're doing that strategic thing, that's a little gritty, like I was talking about before we hopped on today, you know, we're reworking the new website refresh here. And that was a gritty thing in the beginning. It became fun once we got it going, but man, I was wanting to avoid that in the worst way. And if I would have had my email showing, every little email that came in, man, I would have been right on it, guaranteed. Because it's pain relief. It's like, get out of this gritty yuckiness, even though I know that's what needs to be done to move the dial forward in the way I want. So the idea here is, yes, don't let your unconscious movement, don't let your body manage this, this thing where we stay focused versus go off to the shiny little ding and ping. And in order to do that, you do have to become the engineer of your environment. Like when you sit down to do that thing, make sure your email's turned off. Make sure that phone is behind your laptop on silence. And the reason I say behind your laptops, because I just read a new research came out where if humans see the shape of their phone in their peripheral vision, they involuntarily grab it. They don't even know they did it. Boom. And they report that they didn't consciously. So this thing is the digital world is tethering with us. You know, if you think about the old IBM mainframes, they used to be as big as city blocks, right? No problem. That thing's not going to bug you. You got to walk across town to see it. Then it went smaller, and now they were on everyone's desktops, these computers. Then they got smaller in laptops. Now they're on people's laps. Then they got smaller. Now they're on our computers, our phone. Then they got smaller and closer to us. Like they're getting smaller and closer to us. Now they're watches. And now Neuralink's doing human trials where they're actually putting things in our brains. That's actually started real human trials. So it's getting smaller, more advanced, and closer to us. So to learn to have awareness and re-belong to yourself, it's more important than ever. And we just gotta talk about this as much as possible and just remind that this is a choice. You can engineer your environment to not allow those distractions in, and therefore you won't have the option to implement that pain management by getting off of the painful strategic thing. It really is just a matter of that, engineering your environment to have no distractions come in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like you said, not enough people, like aside from you, I don't hear hardly anyone talking about it, right? Everyone's just busy, 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 got to get this done, deadlines, numbers, right? But like you said, it's so important to, you know, to make sure your environment's engineered and just that your well-being, you know, is center stage. And that's one thing too. I think if I look at some of your statements or your company said, well, like one of them is don't work more hours, work better hours, right? So the point is not to be working all day. The point is to be effective and then still have time to be with your family or enjoy a hobby or whatever it may be.
Bingo. Yeah. And by the way, the deadlines, the things, the pile, get that done and have well-being. That's where we're going. That's what we teach. We're not saying don't do this and don't do that and then all of a sudden go to the beach. It's get it done by utilizing your brain and your body the way it was designed to be used, combined with using some of the technologies like Outlook or Gmail the way they were designed to be used. You marry those two components up, you've got a completely different life, and everyone around you is going to know it. We call it balanced thriving. We also call it spacious productivity. That's what happens on the other side of that. And man, does it feel good.
Okay. Spacious productivity. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another very important concept that you talk a lot about is the role of play, right? Yeah. And how important it is to be playful within your work. To just, maybe the best way to say it is to keep balance, right? And not to be so serious all the time. Can you expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, that was born out of an old Native American wisdom where the shaman was basically a healer. Think of the shaman as a doctor. And when somebody was sick, mentally ill, depressed, the first question they'd ask is, they would be trying to find the source of what happened. Like, why all of a sudden are you depressed? Why do you have high anxiety? And you go through a series of questions. The very first question is, when did you stop playing? Now, isn't that interesting? It would say, when did you stop laughing? When did you stop singing? When did you stop dancing? They would ask these questions. And so, you know, biblically speaking, and I'll quote in any religious pathway you would like, but let's just go with some Christian sayings here. You know, biblically speaking, you know, that being childlike is one of the gateways to heaven. All right, that's what childlike is. They didn't forget about laughter, playing, being present minded. They don't loop the past. They aren't mind reading. They aren't predicting the future. Those are all the avenues of suffering that takes you all out of heaven, all of it, in the present moment anyways. And so that's the role of play. Basically, I love what Elon Musk says. He said, basically, we're just a bunch of playful monkeys with supercomputers in our heads. Problem with that supercomputer is it can be a nasty tyrant. The minute you believe that you know things and you become this calcified person that's just certain about everything, play goes out the window, creativity gone, you can't learn new things. It's unbelievable. Harvard Business Review came out with this beautiful article. I think the title of the article was How to Teach Smart People. Because I'll run into that in my trainings. I train a lot of companies that have really smart people, and I'm like biotech and C-suite executives and things. And you can always spot the one that just, oh, that person just has it all figured out. I don't want to waste the minutes of my life on that person. And that person should not be wasting the minutes of their life in this session because their glass is so full. And it is, the fact is that certainty is the exact opposite of intelligence, because you close off all potential for learning. Everyone's an idiot. And so that has to do with this playful thing, is always remember that we're just a human with inconceivably low ability to sense cosmic reality. They say on the entire electromagnetic gamut, the human five senses, our eyes, ears, nose, skin, can only sense less than 0.04% of that whole gamut. The rest is just complete unknown. So, you know, you start getting into this and it allows you just to let go and be like, I don't know all ends. I have a strong opinion. I like to say have strong opinions, but hold them loosely, because man, there's so many trillions of moving parts out there. And when you look at life that way and hold your own opinions that way, well, it allows you to have a little fun with things, loosen up a little, listen to some people on the other side a little bit more, accept that divine paradox of maybe or yes and, instead of just crossing our shoulders and say, boy, that other side's an idiot, isn't it? No, probably not. Humans are intelligent creatures and they have different backgrounds and different, connectome sets. And maybe we should go and find out what it is. You know, the masculine expression is fight and flight. The feminine expression is collaborate and understand. And I can guarantee you the world needs more collaborate and understand right about now. Sure. So that's what we need to be pushing. And if you're off balance and not being playful with an intention of open-heartedness, that kind of stuff won't express.
Yeah, I love that. And too, in terms of just the certainty is the opposite of intelligence, right? Like particularly as you're growing something or you're expanding, like you realize the more you know, the more you know you don't know. And the more you need to collaborate and understand with other people with diverse backgrounds, other skill sets, new ideas, right? And that's where the magic happens.
Right on. And that reminds me of one of the other suggestions, unsolicited suggestion here to the crowd, is early phase, as you're kicking off, get that board of advisors in place ASAP. And if they're not proving you wrong often, then replace them. You need to be wrong a lot or you're not hanging around with the right crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And trust me, that's I'm sure most of the audience can relate to the entrepreneurial journey of continually falling on your face. And seems like a great idea going in. And on the other side, it's like, man, what was I thinking?
Yeah. And handle that playfully, by the way. Take it dead serious, like extract the juice out of having fallen on your face for the 400th time. Learn from it, try again, but do it playfully. Like, you know, don't beat yourself up. You did the best you could. But really it's like, oh, got our asses kicked again. All right, huddle. What did we learn? What are we going to adjust? Let's do it again. It's like someone told me, each time you fail, you're 6 feet closer. But that's only if you really like study what made you fall. Don't just try it again. Yeah, that, you know, is he 50 years in the business or 1 year in the business done 50 times?
yeah, very true. So you've started this, and I love talking to people too that are on like a mission-driven business and had a serious problem and it turned into a company that they're passionate about. And obviously, you've experienced success and whatnot on your journey. What's been the most rewarding part about this whole thing for you?
Helping people find stillness and then realizing they've got the answers. They got the answers right there. If they would just break this damn trance of busyness. That to watch someone self-enable like that is so freaking unbelievably good feeling. That's what gets me to sleep at night. Yeah, you know, Carl Jung, I just finished reading, I did a 9-month study of his Red book, and in one of his visions, he does active imagination. And in one of his visions, he was talking with the archetype of the devil. And I like to tell people the story because it's so relevant. The devil, or what we would call the devil, he had a different word for it. The devil told him, if I can't give them cancer, I will gladly give them hurry. Now, why would the devil say that? Because hurry makes you mess up a lot. It makes you, it gets rid of all empathy. You don't have time for empathy. You just walk right by the old ladies struggling on the street because you got to go. You're hurried. You're hurting people. You're hurting your strategy. You're not doing what your highest self would do when you're in a hurry. Your spirit-driven self, that comes from calmness and stillness. So that's why we say, you know the Navy SEALs have that saying, calm is fast. Slow is calm and calm is fast. It's that. The essence behind that is what you want. And so that's what's so fulfilling for me is when someone finds stillness and then realizes the power that's been right there with them the whole time. You just got to be able to listen to that centered stillness. It whispers. It doesn't yell and it won't grab you by the shoulders and stop you. It'll wait for you to wear out. And then you get sick and then you're laying in bed and then the ideas start flooding in. You can do that proactively. You don't have to wait for the engine to hit red and blow up.
Yeah, very true. And that's another thing that in your company, marketing is calm, deliberate productivity, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's such a powerful feeling.
Calm, deliberate, authentic productivity. That's right.
Absolutely. All right. And so, Jason, if people, I imagine people are going to want to learn more about you, get in touch, look at your programs, see the type of stuff you offer. Like, how can they do that?
Yeah. Reach out anyway. You can LinkedIn, Jason Hinkle. As far as social media, that's my most active channel. My email, I'd love to hear from anyone to talk about any of this. It's Jason@Focus2Evolve, and that's T-O, Jason@Focus2Evolve. And then, of course, our company website, there's a contact us form on there. It's Focus2Evolve.com, and that's T-O, Focus2Evolve.com. Hope to hear from you. I love to talk about this stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I'm sure people will be getting in touch, and you certainly shared a lot of valuable information that can really help people be their best selves, and that's what we all want in this crazy digital world that we have to navigate through. So, so happy you came on the show. I appreciate everything. And again, get in touch with Jason if you'd like to learn more. And that's all the time we have for now. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Hello again, Dave Gulis here. Thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. If you like what you heard on today's episode and you got value from it, please click the link below to subscribe so you'll be notified of future episodes when they drop. If you would like to be a guest on a future show, you can also click the link below, or you can email us at info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. That's info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.